Welcome to the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack. And today our guest is Maricela Soberanes. She is also a principal at Upplex, and she and her husband have passively invested in 9 multifamily syndications across 5 states before they became general partners in 9 apartment syndications. They've also invested in self-storage and mobile home parks. And Maricela herself is also an accomplished author of the book, The Ultimate Guide to Building a Cash-Flowing Real Estate Portfolio and Retire Early. Actually, we just had her husband on the podcast as well. So if you haven't checked that one out, check out the episode right before this one here. And so we're going to get her take on her journey and where they've gotten to where they're at in their real estate journey as well. So Maricela, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. And how are you doing?
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having me here now, Eileen. I appreciate the invite. Super excited to share, the how we did it. Love that.
So can you please share a little bit more about your background and how did you get started with real estate?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Mexico. I was born and raised there. I came to the States at age 23. And I didn't have any background on real estate investing or anything like that. What I had was a business degree, which made me a very mindset with managing my money. My continued education here to become an anesthesia provider, doctor prepare, and established my business in 2015. I still practice once in a while by choice, and I enjoy doing that part. And in the meantime, as I was I graduated with my first degree and I got some money saved up, I initially started with a duplex, which I moved in one side and rented the other side. And it showed me that, I was cash flowing. I was able to pay for the building with very minimum input from me. So I was my rent, I was almost paid for. And coming from living in an apartment, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So if I can replicate this system, if I can do this 20 more times, by the time I'm reaching that AI calculate my numbers, and I'm like, I'm going to do that. So that was the beginning of how I got myself involved in investing. However, I really had no idea what I was doing. I was doing it myself. I was using all my money. I didn't know how to repair back then. There was no cool podcast where you can connect with other people and pretty much make a lot of mistakes. But that also showed me that you can do it. So you just need to organize and build some systems around the process. The other challenging part of it, of getting started by myself with my own money and without experience, is that I was doing, I was managing the properties while I was traveling to do my work in different states, and the properties I was buying were in Texas. So that also, again, might be seen as a challenge, which it was. However, it forced me to detach myself from being the one picking up the checks, being the one answering the questions. I had to build systems. And that was very, very powerful because I was able to, I was in the military, I was deployed overseas, and I had a set of systems that helped that the properties just continue to pay themselves. And I'm very grateful for that. But that is how I got started in the real estate.
I'm so curious because when you first bought the house, it was a duplex. You lived in one side, rented out the other. And then you thought to yourself, if I can do this 20 more times, I'll be set for life. When you had that thought in your mind, how did you think that you were going to get there? Like, what was that process? Did it seem overwhelming? Did it seem unattainable at that time?
Well, so I forgot to mention that when I came to the States, I had $100 to my name, and anything after that to me was a win. So when I was at that stage, I was practicing as a nurse at that point, and I was like, if I can have so much money, because my budget, I would continue to live, and with the mindset that I was doing living before. Like I never expanded my way of living. And so because of it, I was saving most of my money. So I didn't have any strategy to it, to tell you the truth. Like I got really lucky that the person, the agent that helped me buy the first duplex was like able to help me with the bank. I didn't know how to process a loan. I just knew that I have $12,000 to my name and I could put it as a down payment. And then he helped because I didn't even have credit. I was paying everything cash. Like I seriously had no strategy. I just knew that if I continue to save at that rate, I will be able to put down, I guess, $12,000, which, you know, what you can't buy anything right now with $12,000. But in my head, I guess my selective ignorance told me that, yes, you continue to do this, you can pretty much repeat the process.
So at what point did your way of thinking of investing in real estate change from how you were doing it initially and then to how you're doing it today?
Well, when I was deployed, I actually took the time to read several books, and I don't know if I can mention here, Pre-Tax Wealth by Tom Wellwright was one. And I listened to, at that point, Bigger Pockets was a thing. So I listened to those just seeing how people were doing it. And I read a couple more books that I was like, I need to leverage. That was the key word. I need to leverage the banks. And then, you know, again, building businesses, I mean, the systems around the business. And I started seeing, but like not just the houses as a house service, but as a business. So what do you do in the business? How do you increase your income? That I knew. So at that point, when I came back from my deployment, I had saved my money because, you know, everything is provided in the military and we were overseas. So my tax, I have like 35% more that I would have if I was working in the States. So I saw how powerful it was to have that taxes reductions, tax advantages. And Tom Wellwright actually talks about how can you strategically increase your income without increasing your taxes. So that was my main focus. And then, you know, depreciation and understanding all those concepts, it was like, well, I can literally make income, which I was in the duplex. It was then rented out. I could make that income that fall in with because of the depreciation. It was not taxed. So why would I go and increase my hours at the hospital when I could build more rentals and then that is actually free of taxes? So I think that's when it changed my mind and I started putting more strategy to it.
So one of the things that you mentioned also is you're really focused on developing the systems in place. When you're working in your business now and working with the multifamily, you're also working with investors, buying properties, operating them. What kind of systems do you have to set up in order to be able to run this type of business?
Yeah, that is one of my main focuses in the business. I'm going to just do the fill-in and we transitioned. So when I met my husband, we increased our portfolio to 35 doors. And then we met Grant Cardone, our mentor, and he pretty much told me or told us that you're wasting your time playing small. You have what it takes to go big and sell your trash. Your trash is keeping you busy and occupied and you're never going to scale that way. So that's literally what he told me. Because I raised my hand to ask questions. But so we started looking at what can we do to scale because we were so hands-on in our portfolio and we did have the help, but we were still, again, doing our rent rolls and reconciliations. And I mean, with that type of income, there's only so much you can hire out. So we were doing a lot of the sweat equity and it was working well, but you know, it was consuming all of our time. So then we transitioned to buy multifamily and we did it with the help from investors. And a big commitment to our investors is that we're going to treat them as, you know, as a customer to something that they're leveraging our time or knowledge or systems or experience. And those are the services that we provide. So we hire virtual assistants that help us. We have some assistants in the States, but everything has, like when I delegate a task, I immediately, if I'm going to repeat that task or the person has to repeat that task, there's going to be an SOP, a standard operating procedure system built around that task. And so if you're a business owner, if you're, you know, getting getting into this business, think about somebody else is going to do it. You're going to do it once. Maybe you have to teach them once and then have that person document how they completed it. And I always follow the rule that 70% completion accurate, because if you can remove that 70% off your plate, you're only needing to do the 30% left, meaning that you can give guidance to more people on the 30%. And eventually they are going to surpass on the how well they do the process or the tasks. So that is where you actually get your time back and more than that, because then you can focus on the tasks that are producing cash for you, cash flow.
One of the things I want to talk about also that you touched on was you are doing everything yourself and you only have so many hours in the day. And then you realize at one point you need to outsource some of this information. You need to outsource some of this work to be able to scale and grow larger. How did you get from thinking that you needed to do everything between you and your husband and your other partners to actually outsourcing it and trusting and hiring other assistants?
Yeah. So that is a very valid question, especially for a person that you're handling other people's money. You're handling, there's a huge responsibility to it. There are several things that we did. One, we never removed the responsibility from the task. So never remove the responsibility from the task, meaning that somebody else is going to do it, but my final look, final decision to publish, final decision to communicate, whatever it is, I am still responsible for that. So yes, you trust and you delegate, but the responsibility always comes back to you or the person that is delegating. So that is huge. And the other thing is, if you want to scale, that's the only way that is going to get you to it. And if you look at big businesses, big corporations, it's not the CEO doing everything. And even the CEO is not the generating all the ideas. There's somebody above. So many times business owners get on their own way from letting that business grow. And even let's suppose you're doing capital raising and you're like, but I have to be the one person that calls that person. You're right, because that person knows you and trusts you and yeah, they want to see you. However, you can still delegate 90% of the process. You can still delegate all the follow-ups, everything that goes around communicating with the person, and you literally just sit in front of that or meet up with that person, but the reservation was made for you. If you're meeting them, everything can be done by somebody else. So you can actually serve more people by doing that. But many times we are so like, I want to be involved in everything because I'm the only one that can do it better than anyone. And when you get out of the way, I promise you, you're going to see your business grow. You're going to see more revenue your way. And you're going to trust them. You're going to actually get your life back. Because what we've seen is a lot of the syndicators, so a lot of the real estate partners, they leave these jobs that are so stressful and they see that the exit, they see the happiness and the real estate. And there is, however, what they end up doing is building themselves another job that is probably less paid at the beginning. It's going to be less paid.
So Maricela, what is next for you and what are you focused on next?
Well, the things that we've been working on, aside from always building in the portfolio, is helping others scale their business, helping others build their systems and continue to scale. So we have a coaching program where we help and anyone really in the real estate to scale, depending on where they are. And we do that with the help of virtual assistants. So again, because most people, when they think I'm busy, that means they needed the help a year ago. So we do combine those two components, the coaching as well as the virtual assistants for delegation. And that has been our secret, secret formula to grow.
And how has real estate investing impacted your life?
So, wow, it takes me back to where I got to the States with $100. This nation, this America, this country has given me opportunities that I never ever dream of. Being at the hospital, working and producing cash, that's awesome. But you cannot inherit that. I couldn't hear that. It was the second I'm gone, that cash flow machine is gone. And the real estate has given us the opportunity not only to impact our lives today, the lives of our families and generations, and at the same time, help many, many other people do the same thing because we are, we are partnering up with them.
And what is the one thing that you know now about real estate that you wish you knew when you first started?
Leverage. So don't be afraid to partner. Be very careful with finding your partners, but don't be afraid to partner. Don't stay small, because that's the only way you're gonna grow. And when you grow together, it's even more enjoyable.
And Maricela, what is the one thing that sets the successful people apart in real estate investing?
Never stop asking questions and generally being connected with other people. You have to. This is a people's business, and just staying connected, being genuine, and helping others in whatever way you can, it's going to take you a long way.
Maricela, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you're doing?
So on Instagram, you can find me. I'm the Immigrant Millionaire. I can spell it out for you, but it has the_immigrant_millionaire. All of my links there. We do a lot of free events. The links can be found there, including the book. I believe I have a free download if they want to read it.
Awesome. Maricela, thank you so much for all of your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aline. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes. If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Zayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.